Our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of John, beginning with chapter 21, verse 1. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I am going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord Jesus. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. Here endeth the reading of the gospel. You may be seated. This summer, June and July, we have been looking at fish tales from the gospels. We started way back when Jesus first proclaimed the kingdom of God is near, and he called people to be fishers of men and gathered his disciples along the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And we recounted some of the stories of Jesus out on the big water in the storms and the Lord approaching and on the water, and suddenly they were on the other shore. We talked about some of the strange fish tales, like the coin in the fish's mouth. We talked about the parables that include fishing analogies and what those have to do with the kingdom of God. And now this morning we come to the last of the fish tales in the Gospels. And it's my favorite story, I think, in the Gospel of John. In this story, we see sort of in one tale many, many of the fish tales that we've already heard wrapped all together. So this morning, I'd like to walk through the Gospel of John, this story from the Gospel of John with you. But before we do that, since it is our last fishing story, I need to tell you just one more story about Sven and Ole and fishing. So Ole goes by Sven's house, and there's a combine and a tractor sitting out front, and there's a sign there that says "boat for sale." And so Sven goes up to the door and he says, "Ole, I thought you were retiring from farming, not fishing." And Ole says, "Sven, what are you talking about?" And, oh, I forget who is who. And then Ole says, "Well, out there by the road, you got a sign that says boat for sale." And Sven says, no, Ole, it's the combine and the tractor. They're both for sale." The stories that we've been telling about fishing, I think you probably have discovered that many people have a love for being out on the water, in part because of the fact that it brings us closer to God's creation, but also because it's something that seems to bring us together. Marcia sent me a story about her son Paul and granddaughter Danielle. In Paul's case, he went on a yearly fishing trip with a big group of family and friends. And on one of their trips, they all gathered around the nighttime campfire, and Paul did some whittling. Somebody asked, "What are you doing?" I'm making a fishing lure, Paul answered. And then everybody laughed. It was sort of funny. But the next day, Paul tested his lure, and he caught a good-sized northern that's mounted today on the wall of his bedroom, the fruit of his labors. Meanwhile, when she was about 4 or 5 years old, Danielle took her to Marcia and Gary took her to Hare Lake to fish off of the shore. And she pulled a fish in. It was a cute little fish. Gary took it off the hook, cleaned it, and fried it up for her when they got home. She wasn't too fond of the fish as a meal, but she knew the whole process from catching the worms to baiting the hook to catching the fish, finally to the pan and the plate. It was a tiny fish, but it was her fish. And all of us have those sorts of fishing stories, right? Jesus lived in that sort of fishing world. And as we've studied the fishing tales from the Gospels, I hope that you've discovered the ways that that world infused the stories in the Bible and how we can relate to those. So let's take a look at this story in John. The first thing that I want you to understand about this story is that this comes after the resurrection of Jesus. So Jesus has risen from the dead. He appeared to the disciples in Jerusalem, and everybody was really excited. And Jesus said, "Now go to Galilee and meet me there." So they go to Galilee, and they're waiting. And they're waiting. And they're waiting. And so, you know, sometimes it seems like that for us too, right? Sometimes we're waiting for God, we're waiting for Jesus, and then Peter says, "Well, you know what? I'm going to go fishing." And seven of Jesus' disciples climb in a boat, and they go do what they know how to do. They go fish. Now, I think that that number seven is kind of interesting. First of all, let's talk about that number seven. John never gives us numbers unless they mean something. That's something that we just know about the Gospel of John. So the number seven is interesting. What does the number seven usually mean in the Bible? It's usually the number of completeness, right? It's the complete number. And so I think that the fact that there's seven disciples in the boat says to us, this is a complete number. This includes all of us. This includes us. We're in this story. We're in the boat with the disciples who decided to go out fishing. And what does it say to us? It says, I think, expect to find Jesus in a couple of different ways. First, expect to find Jesus in your everyday life. You know, these are professional fishermen. Fishing wasn't a new thing for them. This is what they knew how to do. As we go into our lives, we should expect to find Jesus there. We should expect to find Jesus in the faces of those whom we work with, in the faces of those whom we volunteer with. We should expect to be the hands and feet of Jesus in those spaces. And sometimes we discover that in unexpected ways. But also I think that Peter goes out to fish maybe because that was the first time that he encountered Jesus Christ. He knew about Jesus, the itinerant rabbi, who preached along the shores of Galilee. But then one day, you remember, Jesus said, "I'd like to borrow your boat, Peter. I need to borrow your stuff." Just as Jesus asks us to borrow our stuff sometimes. And Peter let him use his boat. And then Jesus said, "Let's go out fishing." And Peter does, and he lets down a net, and he draws up that net, and it's full of fish, and he realizes that there's someone amazing in the boat with him. And he falls down and worships, and he says, "Go away from me, for I'm a sinful man." And Jesus says, "Come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Peter remembers that. And so I think that's part of why he goes out fishing. Sometimes we encounter Christ when we go to the places where we've encountered him before. If you don't feel like you're close to God, Go to where you've encountered him before. Go to him in prayer. Go to him in worship. Go to him in Christian community. This community, where we encounter Christ in each other. We encounter Christ as we take communion. We encounter Christ in doing the things that Christ calls us to do. I think another reason that perhaps this story is included in John's Gospel is because, you know, these guys are waiting around, and in a way, Peter decides to take things into his own hands. Rather than waiting for God to provide for him, Peter decides, I'm going to go provide for myself. And, you know, we Americans are notorious for that. We always have the idea that we are going to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. That we're self-sufficient. We're independent. And I noticed since I've been here in Tofte that people on the North Shore are particularly that way. But I think Peter John is reminding us here in the story of Peter that really, we're all dependent on the God of creation, the one who provides us our every breath, and the one who provided us a Savior for our eternity. We're dependent on him. So they see Jesus walking along the shore. And Jesus says in our reading this morning, friends, have you caught any fish? That's kind of a nice way to put it. In some of the King James versions, you might see the word, children, have you caught any fish? So I decided I want to go find out what that word means. What is being translated from the Greek that gets translated friends in one version and children in another version? Obviously, neither of those are literal translations. So what does that word mean? Well, it actually means something like little boys. So listen to this. Jesus is real. He's a regular guy in some ways here. Of course, he's the Lord of creation and the risen Savior and the God of God, but he also relates to us in a regular sort of way as he related to the disciples. What he's saying is, hey guys, you haven't caught any fish, have you? Little boys, have you caught any fish? And I think they lower the net in part because they're not quite sure who he is, and they're going to prove that there's no fish. So they lower the net one more time to prove it, and lo and behold, once again, a full catch of fish comes up, and Peter realizes who that is. And so there's this funny thing. Now, in some of the older translations, it says, so Peter put on his outer garment for he was naked. I'm like, what is that? Probably he'd stripped down to his skivvies because it was hot and he was fishing. And he puts on his robe. Why does he do that? Remember back to when Moses encounters God in the burning bush. What does he do? He covers himself because he realizes that in that burning bush is the God of gods. I think Peter's doing the same thing. He's knowing that when he dives into the water and he comes up on shore, he's going to be face to face with his Lord and Savior. And so he brings along his outer garment so he can cover himself, so he can be presentable. My question for you is, in your encounters with Christ, are you open to his Holy Spirit so that you are made presentable to your Creator? I'm inviting you to just do that as you encounter him in the world around you. And then finally, Peter gets to shore, and what he sees there is that once again Jesus has provided. He's provided fish and bread. Where have we heard them before? We've heard the fish and the bread and the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And of course we hear in those words of Jesus breaking the bread and giving thanks, the words of communion, the Lord's Supper. Or once again, we're reminded that Christ is present with us in community as we remember his death, as we remember his resurrection, as we serve each other, and as we participate in the body and blood, in the bread and wine. Now, here's what we don't read in the story today, and I just want to make sure that I finish the story, because I think there's some important pieces in what happens next. Jesus actually invites Peter to do something. See, the last time Peter, we hear, has warmed himself by a charcoal fire was in the courtyard of the high priest. And it was in that courtyard that just hours before he'd gone to that courtyard, Peter had eaten with Jesus, and Jesus had said to him, "Who will follow me?" And Peter said, "I'll go with you wherever you go, Lord. I won't deny you." And Jesus said, "No, before this night is done, you'll deny me three times." And so when Jesus is arrested, Peter follows him to the courtyard, and there in the courtyard, someone comes up to him and says, "Weren't you with him?" And he says, no, I don't know him." And then another person says, "But you're a Galilean, you surely must have been with him." And he says, no, I don't know that guy." And then someone else says, "Yeah, you even sound like a Galilean. You've got to be a disciple." And Peter had a third time denied Jesus, and the cock crowed. And so in our last fishing tale, as you read on in John, Jesus says to Peter, he says, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Yes, Lord, I love you." And Jesus says, "Well, feed my lambs." And then Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" A second time. And Peter says, "Yes, Lord." And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." And a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter feels it right here. He realizes what Jesus is doing. He's giving him an opportunity to confess. He's giving him an opportunity to be made right. Sometimes when we confess our sins and recommit our lives, not all the time, when we confess our sins and recommit our lives, he forgives us. Our standing with Jesus is not affected by success or failure. It's because of his death on the cross and his forgiveness. I was reminded about this, sort of a fishing story. It wasn't really fishing. I was actually out on a pontoon at Wilderness Canoe Base when I was working there. And I had a job to repair a campsite. And another counselor and I were on the pontoon, and we'd zipped over to this campsite to deliver some supplies, and we had to go back to Wilderness Canoe Base. And we decided to take a shortcut back to the canoe base instead of the long way around. And if anybody has ever paddled or driven a motorboat on Seagull Lake, you might know that there's lots of rocks here and there in certain channels. And so we decided to take a shortcut, and I was driving, and I zipped through this channel with the pontoon and hit a rock with the bottom end and really messed it up pretty bad. And I had to go confess to Jim Weenanen that I had done that. And he forgave me. I did have to help him get the pontoon back and haul it up on shore, and there were still things I had to do, but he forgave me for that. Just like Jesus forgives Peter there by the fire. Jesus says then, "Simon, son of Jonah." And we remember that Jonah was commissioned, and Peter is now commissioned. In the very last line of our story, Jesus says, "Follow me." And we know the end of that expression from before: "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus says to us, "Follow me, and I will commission you to also be fishers of men in that great catch and release program where we are catching our fellow fallen man who are swimming in this oxygen-starved, dirty world that is fallen from grace in rebellion, and releasing them into the crystal clear, oxygen-rich kingdom of heaven. Amen.